saddest frown, bigger than the brightest smile, and longer than the longest smile. Somebody bigger than the biggest fight, and darker than the darkest night, bigger than the biggest gun, 'cause he's the only shining sun. Come on.
Who made the mountains? Who made the trees?
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused. And let Voice of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of all the praise. We magnify your name, the name of Jesus. Father, we exalt you. We lift your name because it needs to be lifted. It is the highest name above every name. And we won't let your name go down. We won't let it go down. Father, we ask that you would just touch your people. Touch this family of yours that is with us today. And Lord, there are some that may not be here today that whatever their reasons are, God, it doesn't matter. But we pray that the love of God will be extended to them and the anointing that you have given us in this place, that it will touch their wounds and heal them, that it will touch their minds and give them peace and comfort, and their heart and give them joy. Father, this is what we ask, Lord. Father, we need you. We need you to lift us, to show us the love of God. Father, we need you to heal us and to help us and to hear us on today. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you give me clarity of thought today and precision of speech, and allow my tongue to be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be prepared to hear this word with joy and receive it. Let their hearts be like a tablet. And Lord, let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer, that I may write upon it the word of God. The word that brings healing and deliverance, power and peace, and prosperity to those here that hear and believe it. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord, which is my strength on today. We thank you, God. We praise your name. And Father, after you've done what you wanted to do in this service, you've healed and delivered and set us free and blessed us and lifted us and let us once again feel the strong love of God. We're joining with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim and chant and declare that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. I want to use for a thought or a title or tag on today to this message, overcoming the enemy by the word. Overcoming the enemy by the word. Amen. Wants to be renewed. Guess what he does? He fly real high. He goes as close as he can to the sun, and to those old feathers on him begin to crumble and be burned by the sun. They begin to get frail. And after he goes as far as he can up, he takes a plunge down. Come on and say amen. And when he takes that plunge down, he goes all the way to the sea, and he dives into the sea, into the water, knocks off all the old feathers, only to rise up out of the sea or out of the water. When he rises up, he looks like a new eagle. He looks like, come on and say amen. He looks like a younger eagle. He doesn't look like his old self, but he's been what? Renewed. Oh, come on and say amen. Even though this outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. David say, I've been young, now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. In other words, David was saying, I've been through some stuff, but I'm still as strong like Caleb. I'm as strong as I was 80 years ago because God has renewed my strength like an eagle. Come on and say amen here. He's renewed me by putting a word in my mouth. He's renewed me by speaking into my spirit. He's renewed me from what he came from his mouth. He put it into my mouth. Do I have anybody that said, I'm going to speak the word of God? I got a whole lot of stuff I could say, but I'm going to say the word. I got a whole lot of things I could bless you out, but I'm going to say, ah, Lord. He says in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Everything that God says is what ought to be in your mouth. We got everything else in our mouth, but we need to have his word in our mouth. Verse 5, and the devil taking him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, son of man, cast down thyself, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. That's Psalm 91. He shall bear thee up, lest any time thy foot dashes against a stone. Amen. So the devil now, he gets wise. You know, the devil is, the Bible even say he's that anointed cherub. He has wisdom. And so he realized that Jesus knew this word. So he says, I'm going to use the word too to get you tripped up. Do you know that the devil challenges Jesus' divinity by deception and by false doctrine, by trying to take the word and twisting it for something else? Now, what we got to understand, the devil didn't lie when the word said what it said, but it was not the time to say that. I wish I had somebody. And sometimes people will do the same thing. They will take a certain time to put a word in there that does not apply to you. I wish I had somebody. And so that means that it's false doctrine. It's not something that God is absolutely saying at the moment. That is not a rhema word. I wish I had somebody. So the devil knows the logos, but we have to understand the rhema. We have to understand the time for the word, and we have to be careful how we hear. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus told the disciples, he says, be careful how you hear. And I wondered about that. God, why did Jesus say be careful how you hear? Because it's important how we hear, because what we hear, we can hear a bunch of stuff, but how we hear what we hear. I wish I had somebody. You have some people that hear the wrong thing, and it wasn't even like that. I didn't say it like that. How did they get that idea? It's how they heard it. I wish I had somebody. And so God is telling us, be careful how you hear a thing. I need to understand what I'm hearing and how I'm hearing it. He's letting them know this. Jesus was letting them know this because they were going to hear a bunch of stuff from the Pharisees and from the religious folks that were going to give them a word that was written in the law. But Jesus was saying, be careful how you hear it, because how you hear it can alter your life. How you hear it can hinder the blessings of God. How you hear it can hinder you from becoming what God wants you to be. Come on and say amen. But look at, the devil said all of that. He says that in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what he wrote. You know, some people are going off, oh, I'm believing God to do something, and all they're going off is what somebody told them at a church service, what somebody told them at a conference. But I can find in the word of God something to accommodate my situation. Lord, help me. He says that, he said, it is written again, thou shalt not be tempted, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus corrects him there. After he tested Jesus about his flesh, now he wants to test him in the pride of life. So he didn't self-satisfy, nor did he self-ratify. I wish I had somebody. And so Jesus said here, he said, I'm not going to move because, he said, you shouldn't tempt the Lord. But I want to point out something here. Notice what Satan did. Satan took Jesus to church, preach. Satan took him to the holy city. He took him to Jerusalem. He took him to the temple, put him in a high place. He put Jesus in the church house and tempted him at the church. Now, you came to church, didn't think that the devil was going to bring you. But sometimes he bring you in the church to tempt you. Sometimes he bring you to mess you up. Sometimes he bring you to get you off track. Sometimes he bring you so you would tempt God. And God said, don't tempt me. That's unnecessary. You don't have to go through all of that. You don't have to put yourself through all of that so you can prove that I'm going to love you, that I can catch you when you fall. God said, you just keep on living and I'll catch you when you happen to fall. You just keep on moving and I'll help you when you don't even know I'm there to help. I'll be right there. I'll never leave nor forsake you. I wish I had somebody. We don't don't need to be trying to see if God's going to do it. You just need to know that if I need him, I can call on him and he'll help me. I wish I had some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saints up in here that said that if I happen to go in the fire, I know that he's still able to deliver. Whether he does it or not, it doesn't mean that he's short of his promise, that he can help me when he says he will. I wish I had somebody up in the house today that said, I believe that God will help me, and I ain't got to tempt him. I ain't got to see God do nothing. I know he'll do it. I ain't got to look for God to try to help, put myself in a position for help, but I know that if I need some help, I can call on the Lord. For David said, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Once again, that word deliver, it means to retrieve or to grab by reflex. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that it's God's reflex to deliver us. When we get into something and we start to fall, God just grabs us. It's his reflex. Come on and say amen. And I got to tell you that when the enemy pushes you off a cliff, when you get so close to the edge and he pushes you off, don't worry as you fall, and just know that before I hit the ground, God will, he'll bear me up lest my foot dash against a stone. He catches me. He'll pick me up out of my trouble. I wish I had some. Have mercy up in here. I'm trying to get through. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to work my way to the end. So he says that he took him to church, and we got some things that happen at church that ain't always godly. I'm telling you, we got some people sometimes preaching at church, or what they're supposed to be preaching, but they do something else. And it's not God. It's not led of the Spirit. It's not his divine influence on them. They just do it out of flesh because they want to entertain people. Lord have mercy here. I can understand. I get excited now. I'm the first one to tell you, I get excited about the word. I feel good when I'm preaching. I don't mind getting excited, but I realize that I'm not going to go overboard to the point that I'm just performing. Lord have mercy. All right. Okay, here, let's go on. He said, and again, the devil taking him into an exceeding high mountain. Look at this. The devil, we thought the devil take you to low places, but the devil pulled him out of the wilderness in a low place. And took him to a high place. Took him to church, then took him to a higher place than that. He said, again, the devil take him to a mountaintop and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. In other words, he showed him how to get these kingdoms to be what they are. He showed him the glory of them, the riches of them. He said, now you can have this stuff because I want it against Adam. Adam was the first god of this world because everything came to Adam, even the animals, to solve their problems. They came to Adam for their healings. Whatever it was they needed, they came to Adam. And so he said, I won this in the garden, and so all of this belongs to me. Remember, Jesus even said that he is the god of this world, and he cometh, and he has no part in me. Amen? And so when we look at the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil has all these kingdoms, amen? And all of a sudden, he wants to tell Jesus that if you just fall down and worship, you can have all of them. So he's trying to get Jesus to self-glorify. Now, when people begin to self-glorify, you know it ain't God. When they say, come down here to the MacArthur Inn and you come bring your money, if you got root on you and you need somebody to get it off, just come see me and I can lay my hand on you, bring your $999, and they begin to self-glorify. You come to me rather than go to God. Well, if anybody is a prophet, if anybody is a man of God, a woman of God, they will always point you back to God. They do not draw you to themselves just to say, I got people following me. They will draw you in and point you to God. I wish I had somebody. He's the kingdom of this world. He said, I can give you this. And he wanted Jesus to have the lust of the eyes. He wanted Jesus to self-glorify so that he would not be finally glorified through the crucifixion and the resurrection. Come on and say amen. And so the devil, he says to the devil in verse 10, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus said, just in case you want me to do a service to you, I ain't got time time to serve you because I'm only going to worship and serve God. I'm only going to focus on what he wants me to do. I'm only going to do the duty that God has put me here to do. Come on and say amen. So he challenged Jesus, and he tried to deceive Jesus through his false doctrine and through his deception of the word of God. He twisted the word so that Jesus would try to become what he wanted him to become rather than being what God wants him to be. Come on and say amen. And so the devil, he said that, look, Satan, it is written, I need you to get behind me first. Get behind me first. And let me tell you what else it says. I need you to get out from in front of me and get behind me. Let me tell you what else it says. It says, I shouldn't worship anybody but the Lord, but yet we still worship celebrities. Do you know that Satan wants to be worshiped? And because he wants to be worshiped, now we got to understand, his name was Lucifer when he was in heaven, and he became a fallen angel, and now we know him as Satan. We know him as the devil. We know him as the evil that lives. Amen? When you look at the word evil or the word devil, the word devil spelled backwards means lived. Amen. In this past tense. Amen. When you look at evil, it is the word live. If you turn it around, spell it the other way. Amen. And so Satan does not want you to live. If you're backwards, then you become evil. If you do anything opposite of what God wants you to do, you become what? Evil. Come on and say amen. And so Satan, he tells him, he said, I'm not going to serve you. He said, I'm not going to worship you. He said, I'm only going to serve and worship the Lord. And that's what we are to do. When Satan fell, the name Lucifer is rooted in the word Hallel, which means to celebrate. Well, we get the word hallelujah. When we say hallelujah, we're saying celebrate Jehovah, celebrate Yahweh. That's what we're saying. And so when you look at that and you start to talk about his name means celebrate, guess what we do? We still celebrate him because we celebrate him through celebrities. We celebrate him through stars. Come on and say amen. Because we want to look like them. We want to act. People are going to the extremes of plastic surgery so that they can look like somebody who's a celebrity. They dress like them. They tattoo them on them. I had somebody here. We got to get past worshiping other folks and worshiping other things and realize that the only worship we ought to do is to the Most High God. What does it mean to worship? It means to show your worth. Show what he's worth to you. He's worth so much to me that I refuse to do what other folks are doing. He's worth so much to me I refuse to have a relationship like other folks are having with him. I want my own relationship. I want to see how close I can get to him. I want to see how powerful he can make me become for the kingdom of God. I want to win every soul I can for him. I wish I had somebody. That's how I serve him. I serve him by loving and not hating. I serve him by promoting peace and not chaos. Come on and say amen. I serve him by doing his will and not falling against his will. I wish I had somebody in here. And so I need to learn to serve God. Anything opposite of loving is hate, and anything opposite of doing good is evil. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, I need to do good, because when I do good, I overcome evil with good. And so I become like God. And the more I worship him, the more I serve him, the more I begin to look like him. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I'm just trying to look like Jesus? I told you a few weeks ago, the problem with many of us is that our goal is to make heaven our home. That should not be our goal. Our goal should be to live like Jesus. Our goal should be to look like him. I'll come on and say amen. Because if I look like him, if I live like him, guess what? I'm going to be with him. Lord, have mercy in here. And so I don't need to look at heaven as my goal. That's why Paul say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to what is before and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high. That's my goal. The prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And so my goal is to start to look like him. My goal is to start to love like him. My goal, I wish I had somebody, is to do what he did. So what did Jesus do in the midst of dying on the cross? Instead of him worrying about how painful his cross was, he decided that he was going to talk to a person on the other side of him and tell him, on this day, you'll be with me in paradise. I wish I had some people in here. What else did Jesus do? While he was dying on the cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they... That's what Jesus did. And so in order for me to look like Jesus, when they crucify me, I have to forgive them. When they're dying with me, I have to say, I know I'm in pain just like you, but guess what? I'm going to stop what I'm doing to help you to get to the place you need to be. Somebody somebody say amen here and give God some praise. What else did Jesus do? Jesus said, Father, it is into thine hand I commend my spirit. I'm not worried about where I'm going. I'm just going to give myself away. I'm going to give it over to the Lord. Come on and say amen. I need to learn to overcome the enemy by the word of God. Oh yeah, and in verse 11 it says, then the devil leave him, and behold, angels came and they ministered unto him. And I wondered, I said, why didn't the angels come when the devil was there? Why didn't the angels come and minister while the devil was right there tempting him? While he was at his most hungry state? While he was at a weaker state? It seemed like the angels should have came then. No, the angels didn't have to come because the tempter had come, and God had already put in Jesus what was supposed to be there. And all God wanted to do was draw it out. I wish I had somebody. Show him the strength that he had through the word of God. See, we've been trying to fight with the devil too long. We've been trying to throw blows with the devil. I'm going to do this with the devil. I'm going to open the door, push the devil out the door. You ain't got to push him. He'll leave you alone. The Bible says if you resist the devil, then he will. The word flee means that he's going to hide from you because of the power that you have. The devil begins to hide from you. He decides that I can't overcome them because they're too strong. They won't move. They won't move at the stuff that I've thrown at them. So let me leave them for a season and let me find something else that I can bring back into their life. But what we do in the season he leaves us is that we don't prepare ourselves. In the season he leaves us, we don't pray no more because he's left us alone. We don't praise no more because he's left us alone. We don't serve and worship. We don't even come to church when we ain't going through nothing. But let us go through some stuff. Then here we come in the church and we decide we want to get with some people who might help us to get a victory. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to get with the people, but you need to get with the person of Jesus Christ. He'll be able to help us to have the victory. There's victory in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, at his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. The Bible says, in his name that demons fear and tremble at the mention of his name. But here we are, we ain't mentioning his name. We're mentioning everything else that we've been going through. We're mentioning cuss words, and we're mentioning what they said and what we heard. But let's stop mentioning all of that and stop mentioning the name of Jesus. Why do I mention his name? Because he is as close as the mention of his. Come on and say amen in here. If we can just call on the name of Jesus, then everything will be all right. We have to see the accommodations that the angels gave him. The angels brought what he needed after he had resisted the devil. See, we want what we need before we resist the devil, but you ain't been through nothing, so why do you need anything? You don't need the angel's assistance until after you go through some things. You know why? Because the angel's looking at you and say, you don't know how strong you are. You don't know that you can do this. You don't know that you can overcome him. And the Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your own testimony. If you would just open your mouth and talk to your trouble, speak unto the mountain and tell it to move and be cast in the sea, then it will leave you. I wish I had a few people in the house today that realize how strong you are, how powerful you are. When you begin to speak the word of God, you begin to realize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm going to use my weapons by casting down the imaginations? That's what Satan wants you to do, to imagine yourself losing. Imagine yourself sick. Imagine yourself in a casket. Imagine yourself broke. That's what he wants to do. Use your mind, because the battlefield is in the mind. But I got to gird up the loins of my mind. Now, how do I do that? With the word of God. Romans 12:1 tells us that present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He said that we need to be renewed in our mind. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I do that? By the word of God. I need to understand what Ephesians 6 is telling me. Somewhere around the 12th verse, he said that we need to, having done all, to stand. We need to stand with our breastplate, stand with our helmet of salvation, stand with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, stand and have on your girdle of truth. He tells us to have our shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. Say yes in here, which is the word of God. Anybody got the word on their side? When I have the word of God, that's the only weapon I have in order to attack the devil. The rest of it protects me from the devil. In other words, what was Paul saying in Ephesians 6? He's saying, put on Jesus Christ, because he is my salvation. He is my righteousness. He is the truth. He is the gospel. He is my shield of faith. How is Jesus' faith? Because I can't see him, but I know he's real. Can I get somebody in here to go and say hallelujah with me? Then he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what is the word of God? John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and in the beginning without him wasn't nothing made. And so I got the word of God, and since I got the word, I got the creative power. Since I got the word, I got the sustaining power, because the word was spoke a long time ago, and everything that it spoke about still happens today. Come on and shout yes here and give God some praise. Do I have anybody that say, I want the word of God? He said the young men cleared their path with the word of God. He said the word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If you can't see your way, just grab the word of God. I don't care what the enemy brings your way, but I got a word for you. He said when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift the standard. Do I have anybody in here? I feel good in my flow right now. Do I have anybody that realize that what the enemy brings your way? The Bible said no weapon. Kapow, kapow. Come on, shoot that devil down. That no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I wish I had a few people in here that say, I've been sick, Pastor, but I need you to know that he said in his word, he said that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Oh, come on and shout yes here. Somebody has said, I've been afflicted, Pastor, but let me give you a word. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to overcome by the word of God? The next time the devil comes your way, don't take time to cry. You take time to open up your mouth and say what God said. Come on, stand on the word. Too many of us are sitting on the premises rather than standing on the promises. I'm standing on God's word. So whatever God said, I believe what he said. He said, I can have what I say. Oh, come on and shout yes here. In John chapter 15, he said, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, whatever you say and ask, it shall be done unto you. I'm just trying to give you some word. The Bible tells us that if God be for us, then who can be against us? I wish I had somebody here that said that if God is on my side, then everybody else might as well be. Come on and shout yes in here. I heard another scripture says, it's also found in Romans 8. It said that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Do I have anybody that said, I know he loves me? He said again in Romans 8 and 20, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, height or depth, shall any other creature be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I just gave you a whole bunch of stuff. If this was a gun shop, I just gave you the bullets you need in order to shoot the devil down. I wish I had some people in here that say, I load my gun with the Holy Ghost and I pull my trigger with prayer. Do I have anybody in the house? Come on and shout yes in here. Won't God help you out? Won't God come to your assistance? Won't God make a way for you? They say, won't he? I got some won't he moments. When I was sick in my body, I realized the word of God, and all I could say was, won't he? Won't he? Won't he?
Come on and shout yes here and give God some praise. Anybody feel like me? Do you have any moments in your life that when Jesus look at you and see you in the state that you're in, he picks you up and turn your life around? So therefore, I can honestly say that every time I turn around, the Lord, he keeps on blessing me. He blessed me once. He blessed me twice. He blessed me every day of my life. Do I have anybody that say, I got a word to overcome the enemy? Come on and shout yes here and shout glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Come on, is the Lord all right? I say, is the Lord all right? Come on and shout yes here. Come on, put your weight on it and shout yes here that the Lord is able. He's able to give you peace. That the Lord is able. He said, I'll give you joy that your joy may be full. I give you my joy. So why did he give us joy? He gave us joy so we can reach